Of Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Our children sing a chorus about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house to stay. Today we read the portion of Scripture from Luke's gospel concerning this man named Zacchaeus. The record here of Zacchaeus and his salvation is contained within verse 1 through 10. Let's read that passage. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In chapter 18, verse 35, we read, And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was come nigh or near unto Jericho, he encountered a certain blind man. In our reading tonight, Jesus has entered into Jericho, is passing through Jericho, and he encounters another man, a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And I just want us to look at this passage of Scripture as simply as we can. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, we notice a sinner. We notice a sinner. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. That's the sinner of our text. This man named Zacchaeus. This man named Zacchaeus. And we're told here that he was chief among the publicans. Tells us he was a man of authority and position amongst the publicans. He was therefore a publican, one of those collectors of taxes that were most despised during the life and the times of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, Jesus goes into Jericho and he encounters this chief among the publicans, a rich man named Zacchaeus. It's interesting, if you go back to chapter 18, verse 24 and 25, what Jesus had to say about rich men. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Exclamation. Verse 24 of 18. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye, that's a physical camel with four legs and humps. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. He doesn't say it's impossible, but he says it's difficult. But he also proves by our text tonight that although it's difficult, it is very possible when Jesus Christ is involved. So Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was chief among the publicans. He was rich. But that was no challenge for the Lord's saving his soul. There is nobody that is a difficulty to the Lord when it comes to his saving their soul. He can save the worst of all sinners. He can save those most despised. He can save those who rely upon their riches, who he himself says is hard to be won, but he can save any he has chosen to save. There's nobody here tonight too sinful or too classified that the Lord cannot save. He can save any and all. And the Apostle Paul considered himself the chief of all sinners, and yet he was saved. The Lord had saved him. I always note that when Paul said he was the chief of all sinners, he said that under inspiration. So although we may feel like the worst of all sinners and feel like we're more unworthy than Paul, he had the authority of Scripture behind him. He said, I am the chief of all sinners, but he was saved by God's grace. So Jesus can save anybody. He can save anybody here tonight. He can save anybody anywhere. And our desire is that he might save you if you're here without Jesus Christ. So we see the sinner. In verse 3 and 4, we find the seeker. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Here we find Zacchaeus as the seeker. Verse number 3, and he, Zacchaeus, sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. He couldn't get a good seat. He couldn't get a good position. He couldn't get a good place to be able to see Jesus because of the throngs of people being challenged in his height, he was easily blocked out from seeing Jesus when Jesus Christ would pass by that way. But he sought to see him. He looked to see Jesus. He looked to see who he was, but he couldn't and was kept from it because he was of little stature. He runs ahead to a sycamore tree and he climbs up in that sycamore tree to see Jesus, to get a better look at Jesus, for he was supposed to or believed to pass by that way. And I don't know if at this point Zacchaeus is just seeking to see Jesus out of curiosity. I don't know how serious it is that he's seeking to see Jesus. Throngs of people were seeking to see Jesus, see what he looked like, see what he was going to do next. Throngs of people sought to see Jesus just out of curiosity. And it may be that Zacchaeus was just curious. But God can take curious and turn it into a drawing and can quicken and can save a sinner, the worst of all sinners. And I don't know if many people's testimonies don't begin with their seeking Christ just out of curiosity. Mom and dad, they're Christians. Mom and dad believe in Jesus. Grandma and grandpa believe in Jesus. My friends believe in Jesus. My friends are always talking about church and going to church, and they're always talking about being saved. I don't know how many of those that have come to Christ maybe didn't begin out of curiosity. See, I don't take the position that if somebody is seeking Christ, they must have been quickened. They must have been made alive. I just have never been able to draw that line and say anybody who's seeking Christ is being drawn of the Holy Spirit. Nobody is ever going to be saved unless they're drawn of the Holy Spirit. That's a definite. But I really think there are many who just out of curiosity are looking into Christ, looking into what all the hubbub is about concerning this Christ. And God turns it into something. Something much, much more serious than just a curiosity. And I would say to you, if you're here tonight and you're lost, it's okay to be curious. I encourage you, be curious. Think about what Jesus is all about. Think about all the people you know who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be curious, be thinking. God's just liable to turn that in to a drawing and into the saving of your soul. You can pursue no greater pursuit than to pursue Christ. You can consider no greater thought than the thought of Jesus Christ. And to qualify all of this, we would add, nobody's ever going to come to God, nobody's ever going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul, that it's not by grace through faith. But there might be various journeys that bring us to that place. In verse 5, 6, and 7, we see the sinner who is identified as the seeker becoming the sought. Becoming the sought. in verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, that sycamore tree, where Zacchaeus was, climbed up it to see him. As Jesus came past that sycamore tree, he looked up. He looked up and he saw him. And Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Here is where the sinner that was seeking was sought by Jesus Christ. And that's when things get serious. And I think that's the point where you're on a trajectory that is not going to be reversed once the Lord seeks you, once the Lord begins to draw you, once the Lord begins to reveal himself unto you. And he, Zacchaeus, made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. He received him joyfully. What are we going to read into that? He climbed up a tree to get a good look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ passes by. Jesus Christ says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to go to your house. Zacchaeus comes down and receives him joyfully. Does that mean received him into his house? For Jesus had just said, I'm going to your house. I'm going to be staying there. Or did he receive him joyfully as far as spiritually being saved? It's not till later on that Christ identifies salvation has come to this house where he was going to go and visit Zacchaeus. So we see the sinner as the seeker becoming the sought. And in verse 8 and 9, we see him becoming the saved. This is easy to see. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, I'm going to your house to abide. He made haste, came down, received him joyfully. All the people murmured that Jesus had gone to be guest with the house of a sinner. But then there's something drastically changed here. In verse 8 and 9, Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Something has happened to Zacchaeus. I believe he's evidencing salvation. And we touched on this last week, last Sunday night. People meeting Jesus, and when you really meet Jesus, you're never the same again. Zacchaeus met Jesus, never to be the same again. And he already, immediately, begins to show forth the evidence. Half of my goods, half, he got them right or wrong. Half of all that I have, I'm going to give to the poor, to the needy. There's no indication that the Lord required that. But he's met Christ and something has happened to him. And he's a changed man and he behold says, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. If I've taken a dollar from somebody inappropriately, I'm going to restore him fourfold. I'm going to restore him $4. Verse number 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So here the sinner that was seeking to see Christ was sought of Christ and saved of Christ. We see him becoming the saved. And that brings us to the question, what does someone have to do to be saved? What had to happen here for Zacchaeus to be able to have Christ declare, this day is salvation come to this house? There aren't a multitude of salvations in the scriptures. There's only one salvation. There's only one gospel. There's only one grace. There's only one faith. Different packaging, and it may be different understanding of some things, but there's only one way to be saved in Scripture. And that's true of Zacchaeus, and that's true of the blind man in the previous chapter, or any man you're going to find, or any woman you're going to find in the Scriptures. How is somebody saved? Well, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 16. And they told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Christ. Receive Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift from God. It is received by being placed in your hand. It is received by faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. That faith is a gift from God. And so Zacchaeus would have been saved the same way anybody was ever saved. He would have had to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever variation of the gospel you want to find in Scripture, it boils down to repenting and believing. Repenting and believing. Repenting in that they see themselves a sinner. Believing in that they believe Christ died for them. I don't believe there's any salvation without a person seeing themselves as first a sinner. The whole don't need a physician, Jesus said. The sick need a physician. And so he came to save not whole or righteous people, but he came to save sinners. And all sinners are saved the same way, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, I love this portion of Scripture because it makes it so simple. It makes Jesus Christ so critical, so important to one's salvation. Verse 35, as Philip spoke to the eunuch of Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture, Isaiah 53. You know what it says in Isaiah 53? You should. Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto the eunuch Christ. Preached unto the eunuch Jesus. Said, this man in Isaiah 53, it's all about Jesus. Jesus was that man. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Okay. He preaches Jesus unto him. They come to a body of water, and the eunuch has heard something about baptism. So he says, okay, here's water. So what hinders me from being baptized? Well, Philip says, you got to have the cart and the horse in the right order. You got to have things in their proper order. You must hear Jesus. You must have Jesus preached, declared unto you. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have any business being baptized until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't ever get those reversed. Don't let anybody ever convince you that they should be reversed. Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him, Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a body of water, and the eunuch says, why can't I be baptized? And their response was, you can be, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I typically, when somebody makes a profession of faith, I typically ask them, tell me what happened to you. I'm not going to tell you. I can't tell you. It's not my place to tell you what has happened to you. You say you're saved. You say you believe Christ died for you. Okay, tell me what happened. If it really happened, you ought to be able to tell. You ought not to have to be coerced or coached. I ask a person, tell me what happens. And they tell me their profession of faith. If it's reasonable, if it's any way possible close to the scriptural pattern, then we accept it. And then once they have made their profession of faith and it is reasonable and it's going to be accepted, I like to ask people, okay, what are you going to do now? What do you want to do about this? This salvation that you say has happened to you. And that usually leads them to wanting to be scripturally baptized, wanting to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. And that's the natural progression. That's the natural order throughout the New Testament. So you have the sinner, you have the seeker seeking to see Christ, becoming the sought, consequently becoming the saved. And in the last part of our text, you see the Savior. Verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come? I think we may have mentioned this last week. Verse number 10 tells us why Jesus came. And it's in pretty much the same wording that Jesus Christ himself chose on numerous occasions. The Son of Man has come with this purpose. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Several times in the Gospels you have that definition given by Christ and his being seen with sinners and why he was seen with sinners and justifying eating and justifying communing and justifying being in their homes, justifying being seen with them. That's why he came. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why Jesus Christ came. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save. He didn't come because God needed somebody to come down here and condemn everybody. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. That's why God sent him. That's why he spent those years of his public ministry here, seeking the lost. So we see the sinner, verse 1 and 2, the seeker, for whatever reason, curiosity or working of the Spirit, we see him looking to see Jesus. We see that seeker becoming the sought, in that Christ went to the tree, looked up, and said, come on down. come on down, I'm going to stay with you today. The sought becomes the saved because the saved met the Savior. And just as simply as I can put it, is to quote Scripture. And I'm not afraid to quote Scripture, and I'm not afraid to quote Scripture from the book of Romans. It's all the inspired Word of God. I'm not shy or bashful about quoting from Romans Road, as some people call it. The Word of God is just as surely the book of Romans as John is, or any other passage is. And Romans tells us all have sinned, A-L-L. Nobody in this room is left out. All are sinners. All come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, all must be paying those. All have sinned and come short. All therefore are sinners. All therefore have paid those wages. What do those wages earn? The wages earn death. That's not just physical death. That's the second death. That's that eternal death. All are sinners and all are going to die and all are going to go off into eternity lost and suffer for eternity unless a change is made that only Jesus Christ can make. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to be saved? See your sin. See yourself a sinner. May God give you faith to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. When you know Jesus Christ died for you, then you meet the Savior and you're saved. And you have everlasting life. That's your greatest need, as simple as I can put it. If you're here and the Lord has saved you, then what you need to do, not according to my qualification, but the qualification of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus Christ, if the Lord has saved you, you need to make your profession of faith public. You need to make it known. I hereby identify with Jesus Christ because he has saved me from my sins. You make your profession of faith known. The next procedure, the next step, is when you make your profession of faith known, is you follow your Lord in baptism. You identify yourself with baptism. Why should we? Because Jesus did. Didn't we just see here the last two Wednesday nights? Did we not see that Jesus went to John, who was the only one with authority to baptize, and Jesus himself was baptized under the authority that had been given to John? We must fulfill all righteousness, Jesus said. I've got to do it all right. So are we better or different from him? No. If we're saved, we follow the pattern and the example of Jesus Christ. We follow our Lord in scriptural baptism. And then by following our Lord in scriptural baptism, that makes us a part of the Lord's true church, one of the Lord's true churches. And then we go on and we serve the Lord all the days of our life in and through that local assembly. So Jesus Christ came to where Zacchaeus was. Has Jesus Christ ever came to where you are? Let's have a verse of song.